So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
I grew up loving rainstorms. As a kid, the sound of thunder got me excited. And the dimming effect of storm clouds made me feel like my favorite movie was about to start. And I still love the smell of asphalt after a hot summer downpour. I also remember how much my mother loved rainstorms. At the first lightning flash, we'd curl up next to a window and we'd count as the thunder rolled in. But I'm now convinced that that 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000 was more of a meditation exercise than an accurate measure of how far the storm was, but it didn't matter. I felt so safe and loved during the rain. I also knew to grab my rain boots, because there's nothing my mom loved more than going for a drive in the rain. While other people stayed indoors and off the roads, my mom wanted to go out driving in the rain, and she would beg my dad to take us, and he always would. I didn't have anything electronic to bring in the car. Even the Game Boy was off limits. All I could do is look out the window as we splashed through intersections, watching the waves crest away from our wheels. And I don't remember what my parents talked about, but I remember they talked. And it was music. Sometimes I'd be lulled to sleep on the drive, and other times I'd get lost in whatever book I was reading. I remember peeking through the front seats and seeing my parents holding hands over the center console. And it wasn't an overly romantic gesture, like nobody's hiring an Instagram photographer for that, but it's one of those snapshots that I keep when I think about what real love looks like. Rainy day drives are something that belong just to us. They brought our family together. They were home. But on a very dreary day in February, when I was 9 years old, a darker storm cloud descended. As I got ready for school that morning, my dad was asleep on the couch, and he kind of grunted and waved a hand at me when I asked for an extra dollar for lunch. He'd worked late the night before, but he got up to see me off for school. And so I got the extra dollar, I gave him a smooch, and I headed out. My dad was a truck driver, and later that morning, he got a call and an offer for a job hauling hydrogen sulfide gas. He'd never done anything like that before, but he knew we needed the money, so he took the job. My mom was late picking me up from school that day, but I didn't really think anything of it until I got to my Nana's house, and the living room was full of people, and the air was heavy. I remember my Nana pulling me up onto her lap and telling me that my dad had been in an accident. 9-year-old me was just horrified, thinking of my dad in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So I asked my Nana if he'd ever walk again. And she told me he wouldn't, that he'd taken one breath, those toxic fumes, when he opened the cap on his truck, and he died. My dad was gone. My life was forever changed. We buried Dad on Valentine's Day, just a few days after my parents celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary. The next few months were darker, and they were full of tears. I don't remember everything that happened because life was just kind of blurry, but I do remember the first rain without him. I saw the clouds, and I smelled the asphalt through an open window, and I instinctively ran to get my boots. But I realized my mom was still sitting on the couch with my little brother. And she wasn't crying, and she didn't seem overly upset, but she wasn't looking for him to beg for a drive. We'd ride this storm out together, just the three of us. People often think that holidays and anniversaries are going to be the hardest when you lose someone, but it's not true. You expect to miss him on Christmas. You know you're going to miss him on your wedding day. But it's those little moments when the world just keeps cruelly turning, through those times that you know he should be there, that his absence crashes into you. I curled up next to my mom on the couch, and at the first lightning flash, we started to count. 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. And the thunder struck so hard, it shook the walls. It rattled the brass elephants my mom had hanging next to our family picture, and it resonated in my whole body. My mom held me close. We counted through that storm together, barely saying another word, and I climbed into bed with her that night. For many nights after, I slept by her side. I was afraid to walk in my own living room because I kept seeing ghosts of my dad sleeping on the couch where I left him. And Mom must have seen ghosts too because we didn't live in that house for long. We stayed out at my grandma's house for a while, and as soon as she could, Mom sold the first house she and Daddy ever bought together. We seemed to spend a lot of years running from that storm, but we soon learned that you can't outrun those things. You can only count through them. 1/1000. I started middle school. 2/1000. Mom got remarried. 3/1000. Dad missed my high school graduation. For a while, I was afraid to talk about him because the memory was too sharp. I was afraid that even a drop of him would open the floodgates for my mom and little brother. So I kept it all dammed up for a while. But eventually, we started sprinkling his name into conversations until it wasn't scary or painful to talk about him anymore. His memory started to shine through our tears as a beautiful reminder of the time we had together. 10 years ago, my rainbow baby was born. I'd lost a twin pregnancy the year before, and so I named my new daughter Sunny for being the bright light that parted the clouds. She got my husband's nose and my mom's eyes and my dad's middle name. Her little sister was born on a cold day in March. I named her Violet, the last color in the rainbow, as a reminder that no matter the storms that pass, there's a promise of life and beauty after. About a year ago, I was tucking the girls into bed, and a thunderstorm rolled outside. Violet was so afraid. She hid under the covers, and she told me she was afraid that the lightning was going to come right through her window. The uncertainty of what was happening was just terrifying for her. So I laid down next to her, and I taught her a little trick that my mom taught me about sitting with fear. The next lightning flash, I started to count. 1/1000, 2/1000, 3/1000. The lightning and thunder struck at 6/1000s. So using very precise meteorological calculations, I told her the storm was about 6 miles away. It was closer to HEB than to us. She laughed and she asked me if the storm was shopping for lasagna because this kid loves Garfield. And so at the next lightning flash, she started to count. She got to 7/1000s. The storm was moving away. She was okay. I could feel her little body go limp as she fell asleep. And that night, I fell asleep in her bed because although time is the only thing that moves those storms along, it's easier to ride them out together. It's been 26 years since I lost my dad, and I really only have sprinkles of memories of him now. I remember the meatball subs with ranch dressing and pickles that he used to sneak to me in the cafeteria when the school served those disgusting hamburgers. And I remember his weird love of Star Trek and the way he kind of used to crack his knuckles when he would laugh. And my grandmother, my Nana, can verify that Violet definitely got her grandfather's gorgeous green eyes. But probably the most precious memories I have of our family being whole are those long, peaceful drives in the rain. So to this day, when I feel the air get heavy and I hear that familiar roll of thunder across the sky, I grab my own two little rays of light, and we count together as the storm passes by.